This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Two of Money Moves coming at you live from Omaha, Rocco's Pizza and Cantina. And look at that, the people just continuing to file in to the Jello Shot Room where we're broadcasting from. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. The increase in people from yesterday and today, this is awesome.
See, this is what I mean, right? Like, this is the environment that will distract me. We had somebody yell our names. We've had multiple purchases of Jello Shots for us already. This is what I'm talking about. I had to like calm I was about to start cursing. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is great. So many people are here for one singular purpose. We took off our headsets right now to readjust after we got done with talking with Mike, and just the noise that just came rushing into my ears.
Yes.
You don't realize how loud it is in here. This is awesome.
These do such a good job eliminating the noise. We genuinely did not realize how much of a buzz there was in here. It's awesome. It's inside. It's outside. People getting ready. That first game of Arizona and Coastal Carolina, just an hour away from first pitch. So that's going to be a blast. We will have in 15 minutes Jensen Lewis, former SEC pitcher, MLB pitcher as well, host of VSiN by the Books in the mornings. He's going to be on set with us, give us some of his angles. He covered Arizona in that upset win of North Carolina in the Chapel Hill Regional. So very curious to get his thoughts on that game one in particular. We also, speaking of the Jello Shot Challenge, will be doing a little segment of our own here to close out the show. Final block. Last few minutes after our best bets, we're going to play a game of Take a Shot, where producer Brian Ortega has set up a few wagers for us, and we have to decide if we want to go over the border and make the bet after the show, or if we would rather just take a shot.
Nothing against Ortega.
This is broadcasting at its finest,
might
I say.
Yeah, nothing against Ortega either, but I'll probably just take the shot.
We need to bump those numbers, frankly.
Yeah,
if we could, actually, could we pull up the updated odds board for this one? Because you and I have been kind of in the same realm of Jello Shots. We didn't say this enough on air for Mike Palm. The 75-1 on him, that is very off base for the amount of Jello Shots that man has consumed so far this weekend. He said yesterday he had around 18.
Yeah, he should be ahead of us, I think, at this point right now in terms of the actual live odds.
But this afternoon's our time to shine,
yes,
will say.
Yes, it is. I don't know if I want to shine too much and be on that plane tomorrow and feeling the way that you could potentially
it'll
feel.
It'll make you fall asleep. I think, if anything, it'll actually be a more comfortable plane environment.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
It's a very good point. But, yes, Palm does not deserve to be 75-1. We do have others on here like Bill 80, who's standing over here in a really sweet snapback for VSiN, as well as Derek Stevens. I don't have counts on either of those two guys. I really have an idea of what they've been doing since we've been here.
A little sneaky.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We got to find out the truth behind that one. But the field is a minus 175 odds-on favorite right now because Wilbo, Big Balls himself, has been going balls to the wall.
I think he's literally getting paid to just sit here and drink Jello Shots.
Well, that's the thing. I said to him yesterday, I was like, yeah, I can't do too many today because we've got to be back on the air tomorrow. He said, well, I have to work too, Stormy. But my job is to drink this weekend. So there we go. Very, very fun. We're having a blast out here at Rocco's. If you are in the neighborhood, if you're out here for the College World Series, if you're wandering around Omaha, make sure you stop in, say hello. We'll take some Jello Shots together and give it a nice cheers. For now, let's get into a little bit of MLB talk because we do have a full card coming up today. Went a combined between the two of us 2-1 on the baseball yesterday. Tigers and Cubs, F5 run lines come through. Yankees beat the Royals, but big pitchers duel yesterday. Game didn't see its first and only run until the eighth inning of that one. Also, you had a really good read on the Brewers' young and Jacob Mizrowski, who pitched 5 innings and no-hit ball in his MLB debut. But, okay, I was reading the post-game article yesterday, and it said he left the game due to cramping in his right half and quads. Didn't look like it from the video we saw.
Yeah, so for those who didn't see it, Mizrowski was brilliant, like you said. But then at one point, like, twists his ankle while walking on the mound and then got pulled, like, almost immediately after that. So they're saying something else. Hopefully the kid's all right because maybe that was just the angle. So we discussed the old school handicapping angle of, hey, first-time starter, lineup isn't familiar with his stuff. You can kind of play on those angles and generally have some success. Like you say, again, generally, anecdotally, that's all the information or some evidence. But usually old school handicappers would go there. Proved to be correct yesterday, but then ultimately a short start for the most part. So hopefully he's healthy because he was great, and you want to see more of him.
Cardinals didn't get their first hit of the game until the seventh. Brewers win that one 6-0 in game one of what is a 4-game set. I don't know if you have anything in game two today because why didn't didn't see that highlighted in our rundown, but Brewers.
Fetty and Freddie.
Minus 156 favorite, yep, with Freddy Peralta on the hill. Eric Fetty, your UNLV boy, plus 128 with the Cardinals. Low run total with those two pitchers sitting 7.5.
Yeah, I think this, you could probably go if you wanted to, like the, as we call them, the low hanging fruit, right? The under first three, 1.5, under first five, if you wanted to. I think the part of the worry here is whether or not some of the underlying metrics that paint Fetty to be a less than stellar pitcher are probably going to come back to bite him at some point. 258 batting average on balls in play against him, so he's getting pretty lucky there. His strikeout numbers, he's never really been a dominant strikeout guy throughout his career, but severely declined this year. A career low 14.9% strikeout rate combined with a walk rate of well over 10%. So again, that lack of balance, you can allow free runners if you strike guys out, but you're not doing that if you're Fetty. And so if you look at some of the expected numbers for him, Stormy, expected ERA 5.28, fielding independent 4.31, expected fielding independent 5.08. There's a lot that you could point to for Fetty that you would say this dude's due to get rocked at some point. Brewers could do that, and for a guy like Freddy Peralta, for the most part, numbers are tight across the board. You know exactly what he is. So I think to me, it would be Brewers or pass. Yeah. It would be potentially looking for the Brewers to have a pretty decent day, or just wait to see if there's another lineup with more effectiveness that you would bank on to get after Fetty in the start.
First game of the day today in Major League Baseball is coming about 20 minutes after we get the College World Series started, and the Pittsburgh Pirates have a guy on the mound very familiar with Omaha, the one and only Paul Skenes on the hill for the Pirates. They're an even money dog here in Chicago against the Cubs and Cade Horton, and this number has moved in Chicago's favor. Opened around Pick'em. Yep. Chicago out to minus 121 right now.
How about this total?
It's a movement on the total as well. 6.5 I'm seeing right now live on DraftKings.
Yeah, so we saw this open 7 over minus 125. Now we're down to 6.5. It speaks to Skenes. Skenes, again, he's exactly what you expect. Every number points to who he is exactly going to be. On the other side, you get Cade Horton, which I don't think you're running to back Cade Horton and expecting him to do incredible things. However, as a pitcher, your floor is always raised when you're facing a lineup the likes of the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're not particularly good. So, again, you talk about, let me actually bring
this up. Want some numbers? I'll give you those numbers while you look it up. Pittsburgh, 29th in slugging, 28th in OPS in all of baseball, and in the F5, if you are somebody who's trying to target those early angles with these pitchers, they're even worse than the full game. Fewest runs of any team in the sport scored, averaging 1.66 runs per game in the first five innings.
And how about this? So first threes, generally, it's been like plus 130, somewhere high as like 2-1. Over under 1.5 for the first three. Over is minus only 135. You're only getting even money on coming under 1.5. Like this, it just tells you what the expectations are for this Pirates lineup, what the expectations are for Skenes as he continues to perform at a really high level. So I am going to be, I mean, this is going to be an interesting matchup at that. Wind is blowing in, but it's not that much over there at Wrigley. So should expect exactly what we're going to get in terms of where the market's at.
One note, Paul Skenes, yeah, the numbers are ridiculous. 1.88 ERA, giving up one runner, fewer in six straight starts for him, but gave up three to the Cubs on May 1st. Yep. All of them were homers. That said, all of them came in the fifth.
Yep.
So if you're looking at that three, maybe not as much of a concern as the later pitches for him, but three home runs against this Cubs lineup in that previous
matchup. By the way, as we're talking, the first three goes to under minus 105, so the market is moving in the direction of getting that thing under the total, at least under 1.5.
Okay, how about your Giants in L.A. taking on the Dodgers? L.A., a big favorite here. Good pitching matchup, Logan Webb and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yamamoto, so many like syllables.
Yes, too many. So first off, real quick, update for our audience. Adam Burke's on vacation, so I'm writing the article up at MLB, for our MLB Best Bets. I did write about this game here today. It's hard not to gravitate toward, I even mentioned it in there, the low-hanging fruit here. Between two pitchers, Logan Webb has been brilliant. Just two earned runs in his last 14 innings of work. He has struck out 17 and walked none over that span, which has been very brilliant. Look at his last 24 innings of work, Stormy. He has walked just 4.8% of the batters he's faced all season, and he's walked just one over the last 24. He's been brilliant in terms of his command. I kind of blindly trust that he is going to perform relatively well. A lot of people like to point to home road splits for pitchers. If you look at the road ERA for Webb, you see a 3.95 and think, okay, maybe he's just not pitching well on the road. But fielding independent and expected fielding independent on the road, 2.17 and 2.1 respectively. So Webb has been deserving of better things. The numbers are all there for him. And meanwhile, Yamamoto really hasn't been that great, but he's taken on the Giants lineup has been very middling. We've seen this before. The ranking pretty poor, 21st in WOBA, 21st and 28th in strikeout rate on the road this season. In WOBA and strikeout on the road this season. I think Yamamoto is going to be able to even out here. Had a good performance against St. Louis last time out. So I went with the easy thing. First three under 1.5 plus 140 for this one tonight. And also Giants Dodgers first five under 4 minus 130. So again, first five under 1.5, first three under 1.5 plus 140, and then the first five under 4 minus 130. I think this is going to be a pretty low scoring game.
Seen a lot of love in the market for the Dodgers in particular as well. This thing opened minus 165. I see as high as minus 192 at one shop right now. So the money moving in favor of the Dodgers. Giants, how did they lose that game yesterday to the Rockies,
by
the way?
I mean, because my hope was, because for those who don't know or remember, I do have this Giants most wins in the month of June. I was really hoping they were going to be able to maintain that streak going into this series with the Dodgers. This is a winnable game. We should note that. Part of the, I think, worry for me as somebody who bet this under is also the fact that we've discussed this at length here. Yamamoto has not really looked particularly daunting. Let me see. I actually have his numbers in recent form. If you look at Yamamoto recently for him, let's see. Last six starts, 374 ERA, 367 FIP. So he's been very average. And so the Giants can potentially steal one of these games. This might be one of them with Webb on the hill.
Plus 151, that price on the money line for them today. Also, if you want to take that plus a run and a half, minus 151, the price there. Remember, everybody, if you're trying to get in on the action, not only when it comes to Major League Baseball, but, of course, we've got the NHL and NBA finals underway. But don't forget about horse racing, because First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of horse races each and every day, not only across the country, but across the world, right from your phone or computer. FirstBet.com, that's the number one, STBet.com, and use our promo code VSIN200. That'll score you a 20% rebate on your wagers the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at FirstBet.com. And speaking of not missing out, you're going to want to stick around. Our own Jensen Lewis joining us next to preview College World Series. We got two games in bracket one getting underway today. And who does he think is most poised to win it all? We'll get into it next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Stormy Bontoni and JVT with you. Reminder, if you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or just the thrill of calling your shot, you got to check out XCUTTA. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. It's basically a future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to come play too. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sportsbook with your crew, and it's addictively fun. Here's the hookup. Email support@xcutta.com. Mention VSiN, and they'll send you a special three-month player promo to get started. Again, that's XCUTTA, X-C-U-T-T-A. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade, and we've got an upgrade on the desk out here in Omaha as we welcome you back here to Rocco's Pizza and Cantina, the one and only Jensen Lewis, yes, host of VSiN by the books, but also former SEC pitcher for Vandy, former MLB pitcher. Nobody better to break down all things College World Series than with you, my friend. How you doing?
It has been, it's my first time ever to Omaha, and so the only time I've been through here was when we were playing AAA in the Storm Chasers for the Royals. So, like, I've been by it, haven't been in it. So excited to be here with you guys and take it all in.
As somebody who's played college baseball, can you make us understand the mystique of what this is? Like, how big is it, like, when you're playing, you're like, we want to get to Omaha? Obviously, it's the allure of a championship, but just being here in general.
Honestly, JVT, a lot of programs, we even put it in our locker room at Vanderbilt. Like, it's plastered, you know, in the team rooms, and, like, it's all you think about. Maybe a bad omen for the Texas Longhorns putting it in the sole of their shoe, and they didn't make it here, but this is the promised land. It goes all the way back. You guys remember the Counting Crows song, Omaha. And that's the soundtrack to my high school, my college, when we were in the Cape Cod League, and just hearing it and seeing it, and Mike Patrick coming out in the open, and welcome to Middle America. I mean, it is unbelievable to be here now and see it, and then obviously with how big of an event that it's become in and of itself.
It's growing year after year. We see so many people already here just like packed into the Jell-O shot room, but all across here, game one's going to get underway in about 45 minutes or so. And I do want to start with that Arizona Coastal game. You just saw Arizona up close and personal in the Supers.
Again, the it factor. It just kind of seeing how they came back. They get bludgeoned in game one, 18-2. They need a little late inning magic in game two to stave off and be able to force winner take all on Sunday. And then Mason White, originally from Tucson, kid grew up wanting to be a part of the program, watched every single inning of the 2016 run, and like vowed from that time, he goes, I'm going to play and I'm going to bring us back here. And he is the reason. He had the game-winning 2-RBI single in the eighth inning. So congrats to them. Chip Hale's been unbelievable. 19th time they've been here, going for title number 5. They run up against a tough team in Coastal. Yeah. Coastal can pitch. They can hit, 23, 24 straight wins in a row to get here. Rematch of the 2016 World Series final. So we got a dandy to start today. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You think this gap is that big? We're finally starting to see some market buyback here on Arizona. Some offshores are starting to slip now in Arizona's direction. It's like, oh, that -235 seems pretty high for Coastal.
I would agree. I would probably put them maybe like $1.75, something like that. Just I do think that gets a bit tighter. I gave out the under 9.5 yesterday. I think it's down to 9, depending on where it is right now. I just feel both these starters, Kremkowski for Arizona, didn't have his best stuff in Chapel Hill. I think he bounces back. Tony Pluta, who was just named the reliever of the year in college baseball as their closer, I don't think he's given up an earned run since the 1st of April. So they've got plenty of pitching to shut down. So I think that, especially day one here, once you get out on this field, it's think of like Kauffman Stadium for the Royals. A lot of real estate to cover, and I think it's a lot more beneficial to pitchers early until the wind probably starts blowing out next week.
Jensen Lewis, host of VSiN by the Books, with us live here in Omaha, was also on the call for a ton of games throughout the tournament for ESPN. You've watched a lot of college baseball. Yeah. Of the teams that are in the field remaining, who is the best to you?
I think it's easy to say Arkansas, but they're so loaded in so many spots. If there was a team that could you'd be able to beat them a couple of times, it would be LSU. I'm going to tell you, when you see Murray State tomorrow, these guys rake. I mean, it is.
Okay, it's real.
It's a real thing. And I think, and I already got in on Murray State on the money line. I think they're very live to win tomorrow against UCLA. If I had to look at a team that could neutralize it, Oregon State's pitching is really good. Their top two starters are awesome. Again, Arizona, they just find a way. Their two-out offense has been really good as of late. So if you're picking it, again, it's like two regionals coming together. So if you have a nice price, maybe on an Arkansas or LSU, or if you don't, I would say wait to see who loses that game tomorrow night. Jump on that team if you feel it's an SEC team that's at least going to get there.
So tomorrow, or to later today, the game we're all going to go to, Louisville and Oregon State. The game itself, walk us through it. But walk us through Louisville, because I haven't heard much about them in talking to people outside of Derek buying 100 shots for Louisville. There's not many that we talk to that go, oh, I think Louisville is live here, not only in the game, but for the whole thing.
I think Dan McDonald does a phenomenal job of the program, and they're a very dynamic, athletic offense. There's a lot of ways they can beat you. They've got great top-end pitching. Back end of their bullpen is probably what you're looking for. If there's an X factor, if they can get those quality leverage outs, I think they're okay. Oregon State just been there, done that, man. It just feels like they know when to crescendo. Caught a couple of breaks out there in Corvallis against Florida State, but sometimes you need a little bit of luck to get here. If anyone has the pitching that if they stay in the winner's bracket, they could be really tough to beat, I think it's definitely the Beavers.
Okay, so that's kind of where I was going to go, between bracket one and bracket two. Yeah. Obviously, you have LSU and Arkansas that are packed together in the same bracket, but if there was a name from bracket one that you would want to take a shot on that's going to meet in the end, would it be Oregon State then?
I would say that if you want by just the numbers, it's either Coastal or it's Oregon State. Okay. Arizona's, upwards of 14-1 or something right now. So, again, you're just trying to find that opportunity to have the two teams that you pick from both sides meet for guaranteed profit. But, boy, I can't believe Coastal's at, like, plus 600 or 650. They are better than that number, but it's a nice value to be able to get them at.
Who's the best player in this tournament?
Avar Arquette is really awesome. You see from Oregon State here later tonight. I mentioned Mason White. Behiba Aloy, SEC Player of the Year for Arkansas, shortstop. His brother, Kihei. It's amazing to see Aloy in the lineup, and they rake. You're going to see Zach Root, who is highly emotional. That's going to start for Arkansas, but a lot of fun to watch. Gabe Gekel, who is their closer, throws a million miles an hour. The amount of power pitching you will see from both SEC teams, and they're averaging 93, 94 miles an hour, and you've got a lot of guys that are hitting 98, 100. So that's unbelievable coming out of my mouth in the college game now. We're so used to the big leagues. I would say Behiba Aloy is going to be one to watch. Arquette from Oregon State. Pitching-wise, there's a lot of good ones. Kleinschmidt, who you probably see later today from Oregon State, is phenomenal. So we're in a great spot in the game with so many different guys in different conferences that have a lot of star power.
Well, let's go to that game tomorrow night. All eyes are obviously going to be on LSU and Arkansas. The Hogs with a slight edge here, minus 120, LSU minus 110, run total of 9. I know you want to angle on the team that maybe loses and see what that could look like that for them from a number standpoint. Yeah. Before this, who do you think gets out of it?
Oh, I think that Arkansas has probably the horses to do it. LSU's pitching is very good. I got under 10. It's down to 9. I just saw it right here. I do think there's enough swing and miss from both those staffs to be able to counteract offenses. But, yeah, for me, whoever loses, I just roll the money lines over. And, you know, again, you're 2-2 here before you get to the World Series final. But if I had to, I would say if a team loses, Arkansas is the best position to be able to come out of the loser's bracket.
Can you explain a little bit real quickly for people who might not be as familiar with the College World Series, the format and how important it is, like winning those first two games, if you can, kind of sets the stage.
And you're here a long time, right? So you play every other day. And that's the thing is if you win, you can position your starting pitching. If you have two really good starters, that's all you really need. One off day, two off day, and you just keep going that way. So the deeper you're pitching obviously is better, but staying in that 1-0 bracket and then getting to the 2-0, being in the catbird seat, you're just asking a team to go so deep into their pitching to try and beat you a couple of times in a row.
I think we have to take a break early. We're huddling up here. We have more.
Oh, we are. We're getting some passed our way.
There we go.
There we go.
Jensen. All right. Thank you, Derek. Thank you.
If you didn't, the cameo here from Derek Stevens, just a casual owner of Circa, throwing some Jello shots our way here.
Look, I'm a company man. We have to do what we have to do.
Our boss, Steve Cohen, he's teaching us the proper technique as well.
Got the mechanics. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Because there is a system for these Jello shots, those of you at home. If you are making your way out to Omaha, there's a special little tab on the bottom that helps you kind of pop it and get it going.
I will say, Jensen, I was watching this morning. Was it 6 in the morning? You already had one in your room.
We had two. Got the morning started early. I was curious how many you've had so far in the weekend because your show's so early. Like, how do you handle that?
We started slow. We're starting to kick in some afterburners here.
Yep.
I got you guys and Mitch and Polly, and that's it. So we'll be good.
Okay. That's what I keep telling everybody. Since we're not working as much on the weekend, it's like, today's the day.
Today's the day.
All right.
Got to go.
This is a perfect way for us to send you guys out. We'll be coming back next segment with a little more MLB.
I guess.
We'll break down the NBA and NHL finals if we remain on the desk because we might get pulled back up to the bar. But on that note, cheers, everybody.
Cheers, guys.
We'll send you out.
Good seeing you. Appreciate it.
The Blue Raspberry. Nobody told us who these were bought for, though.
Oh, yeah.
What team are we representing?
Well, Derek Bottom, I would assume.
This is Murray State, then.
Yeah, I assume it was Murray State or Louisville.
Racers, let's go. Don't let the Racers get hot. 45-1. We'll be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Jello shots continue to flow here in Omaha at Rocco's Pizza and Cantina, home of the famous College World Series Jello Shot Challenge. The number of Jello shots that just keep getting dropped on our desk today.
We got yelled at. Like, Derek was just yelling at us, and then all of a sudden we had Jello shots on the desk. So, yeah, this is pretty wild. I just texted Mitch, so Mitch and Paul are going to be on later. And I just asked him, I was like, hey, you know, where are you? You doing prep at your room, whatever you're doing? He's like, yeah, I just got up. He's like, why? And I just said, stay there. Like, if you're focusing on work, stay there, because there's no way you're coming down here and sitting at this table and be like, oh, I'm just going to prep for my show. No shot.
Yesterday, he came in early while we were on the air, had his laptop up here. There is no breathability area for him to have his elbows out and
This is wild. This environment is great. It is very much my thing. I just want to be out with the masses.
And we're 30 minutes away. First pitch in the first game of the College World Series, Arizona and Coastal Carolina. We talked about it last segment with Jensen Lewis. Coastal, big favorite here, out to around $2. Arizona, plus 150. And excited for that one. We'll be at the Louisville-Oregon State game a little bit later on. Feels like nobody's given Louisville a chance where things sit right now. Although, that's one of the teams that Derek Stevens has been buying shots for. They're repping Kentucky, so he keeps buying shots for Murray State and Louisville. See if they can bump those numbers over
there. Yeah, I do find it curious when there is a tournament setting and that seems not like rife with parity, but a bunch of teams that are pretty similar to one another. And there's really nobody that I've heard. To be honest with you, have you seen any Louisville supporters?
Not really. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen maybe a couple polos, yeah, but that's about it. And that's a wine and cheese shirt to be wearing out here, okay? We need people getting into it.
Polo?
Polos, you know.
Oh, like the brand polo.
For a polo shirt.
Like the brand polo,
yes.
Not the generic,
correct,
like what I'm wearing,
correct,
polo.
The, like, okay, super classy,
I was gonna
more
say
expensive
the, I think,
than they need to be one. I'm not sliding your polo,
yes,
or a standard polo
well,
shirt.
Well, I think
the
polo is the look of I'm working, but also not seriously working.
Yes.
You know?
Which, speaking of that, in its entirety, next segment, we will be doing
a
take a shot segment as we wrap things up here. We wanted to save it for last because of how many potentially could be consumed in the segment, but our producer Brian Ortega has given us a few betting prompts, and we're either going to drive over and make the bet after the show is over or take a shot. So we'll see how that goes next segment, along with our best bets. But let's get back into a little MLB, a few games that we didn't have time to touch on at the beginning of the hour. Yankees, we mentioned earlier, got the 1-0 win against the Royals yesterday. Today, starting a set with the Boston Red Sox in Boston. Ryan Yarbrough on the hill for New York, +123 dogs. Garrett Crochet going for, yep, Boston, -149, -150, that price. Run total sitting at 8.5.
Fascinating matchup, I think. The worst start for Garrett Crochet so far this year, who's got a 2.35 ERA, 2.68 fielding independent. If you go back, let me see here, six days ago, he was on the road against the New York Yankees, gave up 6 hits, 5 earned runs, was taking deep ones, did strike out 9. It was the most earned runs he had given up at a start, or has given up at a start so far this season, and now he gets the Yankees again. So got the piss beaten out of him in the last start, and then now here he is again against that same team, and also a team, as we have covered, talking about that series against the Royals, because the Royals were throwing out a couple of southpaws to start that series against the Yankees. This is the Yankees team that hits lefties extremely well, and here you are, Crochet, a left-handed pitcher against the best left-handed hitting lineup in baseball, who he had his worst start against. I am morbidly curious to see if whether or not Crochet is just going to get taken to the woodshed, okay, one more time by this Yankees lineup. And then you mentioned the price that we're looking at here. I mean, Yankees right now with Yarbrough, like +125, some spots +130. That's not a price you generally see quite often on this Yankee squad for the most part. It takes an opponent like a Garrett Crochet to get there, but they got to him last time. So I'll be very curious to see if we start to see a little bit more market support at some point. But right now it seems pretty solid, right? Some spots open -150, dip to -144, up to -149 again. So there seemed to be a little bit of money out there potentially on the Yankees. But to me, I think I'd be curious to back the Yankees here today against Crochet.
One game today I was looking at total-wise, but I might have been priced out of, was the Angels-Orioles over. We're up to 10.5 now. Despite these being two bottom 10 lineups in baseball, that total is completely warranted. Angels, second-best over team in baseball. Two starters going today that aren't great, and bottom 5 bullpens also for both of these teams. Jack Kochanowicz going for the Angels, ERA on the road this season over 6. Mm-hmm. He's given up 4 runs in each of his last 4 starts. Charlie Morton for Baltimore, 2-3, 5.80 ERA on the year. And just thinking about Camden Yards can be a hitter's park when the weather is right. It's a warm day out there, 85 degrees, humidity around 57%. Ball can travel a little bit more in those conditions. So I was looking at the over, but at 10.5, I don't know. That's the way that I lean, but I don't think I can get there. And then even the first 5 over 4.5 is -210 right now. You'd have to go over that 5.5 at -130 to make it worth it, which could be in the cards for me if I do anything here.
Did you read my article? I wrote this game up.
Was it up this morning?
Yeah, I wrote this up.
No,
I'm just saying, because I wrote this up, so I'm glad you brought this one up. I backed your Orioles here today. So, because here's the thing.
No, but I mean, they're favored for a reason, yeah.
But it's also, so like on the surface, you mentioned both the guys, right? Morton and Kochanowicz getting starts here. Charlie Morton's actually been a lot better recently. If you kind of whittle down this sample size, if you look at his last 9 appearances, 4 of which are starts, he's got a 3.69 ERA and a 3.96 fielding independent. He's really started to kind of turn things around a little bit here, especially as they've asked him to be a starter. So the numbers there are much tighter, much better than what you're looking at with Kochanowicz. Last start wasn't great. Earned runs in the third, but if you look over the larger sample size of improving baseball here, strikeout rate of 23.7%, walk rate's under 8%. So Morton's starting to at least look like an average starting pitcher. And again, he is starting again. You also get Baltimore, who sample size, but is starting to play a little bit better. It's the start of the month, 11th in WOBA, 8th in weighted runs created, plus they're a better lineup than they played at home if you look at the season-long metrics as well. So I actually thought first five minus the half run, when I put the article up today, it was around minus 118, minus 115. It's now floating around minus 130, so there's some market support there. But with Morton's somewhat improved nature and the way that he's been pitching, the fact that Kahanowicz, you mentioned these four straight starts, giving up four runs or more, the fact that his lineup's been better, I thought it warranted a first five play of Baltimore today.
Okay, any other games that we haven't touched on yet that called to you?
Out of all of them, I think we've hit pretty much most of them. Like, you see, we hit Yankees-Red Sox. I think the fascination there with that matchup between those two. And then later today, Padres and Giants. So there wasn't much that had stuck out outside of the intrigue of some of these matchups that we're going to see. You know, for example, what was the one that stuck out to me? Padres-Diamondbacks. Like, Rin Nelson's actually been pitching relatively well. We saw the Diamondbacks open up as, like, $1.23 favorites, 9.5, shaded to the under at minus 115. You're looking at this here. I think rightfully so. Diamondbacks are getting a little bit of support. Now we're upwards of what have we got? Minus 137. Yeah. So about a 15-ish cent line move, depending on where you look. But Nelson's pitched pretty well so far. Underlying metrics paint a really solid case for him to continue this run. So I would very much be on the side of the market here, too, with this number getting bet up here to about minus 137 or so. I think the D-backs are at a pretty – and it's a good series. I mean, look, your two NL West teams, obviously very important. D-backs slid a little bit there for a while. You and I have covered their pitching issues, especially with Corbin Burns going on the injured list. So this is a big series in the big picture for both teams. And then on the other side, Kolick's just not a guy that had a pretty good read on up to this point. But Nelson was a dude that I thought had all the buy signs to potentially back here.
One other thing, I was contemplating backing the Phillies either for the full game or the first five. Ranger Suarez going for Philadelphia, 4-1, 2.70 ERA, giving up two earned runs or fewer each of his last four starts, getting in at least six innings in all of those starts as well. Blue Jays offense nowhere as good on the road either as they are at home. And Kevin Gausman got touched up the last couple games. I know that he still was able to collect those wins against Minnesota and the A's, but three runs given up in each of those, maybe just targeting a Philadelphia team that seems to be in a good spot here as a short favorite.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, this is a fascinating series, too, just with the way that Toronto has been playing as well. But those numbers for Philadelphia that you're listing off, especially when you talk about Suarez, it's hard to find a crack in the armor for the most part and how solid he has been up to this point. So I would generally agree with the sentiment, too. But that's one of, and it's a tightly lined game, but it's one of the more entertaining contests later today, too. We got a good set. There's a good set of games here today. Like, we have this College Baseball World Series that we're going to watch, but I think these weekend series are setting up to be pretty good in Major League Baseball, and we have a lot of golf to watch as well.
Yes, which, by the way, how are we looking right now? Can we pull up that leaderboard?
Sure.
Because it was a dicey day for me yesterday. The only hope I had really was Ben Griffin. Scotty Scheffler even having a rough day today.
Scotty doesn't know how to play this course. How about that? You like that one? That's a good reference, right? No? Do you get the reference? Scotty doesn't know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Scotty
okay.
doesn't know
Euro
how to play
Trip
the course.
Eurotrip is one of the best
yes.
movies of all
say,
time.
I was going to say, you made a reference to you.
I feel like you said that in a weird way that I wasn't getting it, but yes,
so it's
go
my
ahead.
Fault. Okay.
Yeah, I blame you for everything.
JJ Spahn's out on the course now, our leader, so he is 4-under through 2, so we'll see if he can maintain it. Low score today, Sam Burns making a push. He is 5-under and 3-under for the tournament, so he has found his way tied for second with Thurston Lawrence, who is also at 3-under. Then you get to a lone fourth place for golfer at Siwoo Kim at 2-under. He is going to take the course here and actually should just be on right now.
Shane Lowry hasn't started yet.
You don't have to update
but
him.
We need a surge from our guy.
A surge.
All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, we're closing out the day. Bet or take a shot at Rocco's Home of the Jello Shot Challenge. Don't miss it.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are rolling along in Omaha live. live from Rocco's Pizza and Cantina, and look at the way the people have filed in here with games one and two of the College World Series set to get underway in about 15 minutes. Bracket one, Arizona and Coastal Carolina head-to-head. The Shants, a big favorite in game one, although maybe people not giving Arizona enough credit. I know you liked the over in that game. Matt Grissom liked the over in that game. I was thinking maybe a Wildcats run line, but I ended up staying away.
I just want to watch baseball now.
I know.
I'm in.
Up.
Like, this is going to be great. And watching it while it's going on over here, so we'll be around here checking it all out. I'm very excited to get this thing started and see how these teams are going to match up with each other.
Okay. It is time for our best bets of the day, presented by GBank, as always. And if you haven't heard about the trifecta yet, take a listen. $500 trifecta from our friends at GBank First Bet and, of course, us at Visa. And all you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card. First 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the $500 trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. And then us at Visa, we're completing the trifecta with a Visa Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and Visa. Head over to Visa.com/GBank. So one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer will not apply to requests for converting existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Real quickly, hit on your baseball bets, and then I want your final thoughts on Game 4 of the NBA Finals. But what are your best bets of
the
day?
Yes, ma'am. You got it.
Do it.
So the three I got today, Orioles first five, minus a half run, minus 118. Giants-Dodgers first three, under 1.5, plus 140. Giants-Dodgers first five, under four, minus 130. So
okay.
Let's do it.
We're riding. And if you missed any of the breakdowns as to the why JVT likes those bets, all of it available on the Money Moves podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, download, subscribe, come join us. You can listen to them on your own time.
That's, and
yes,
up at VSiN.com for the next 2 weeks because I'm filling in for Attenberg.
Of course, yes, full write-ups on VSiN.com. Our subscribers, you don't get the limits on the articles. You can get all of the action there, which includes NBA Finals coverage, Game 4 coming up tonight. OKC, a bigger road favorite tonight than they were in Game 3, despite losing Game 3 to the Pacers outright. They're trailing in the series 2-1. A 6-point favorite in Indiana tonight, and the total continues to get bet up.
I think that this is very much correlated to how you like to play this game. If you like Oklahoma City, I would look into some alternate lines. And don't be afraid to lay them, like, pretty high, like upwards of, like, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, because I think that if they're going to win and cover this number, they're going to do it with relative ease. It's what we have seen when they have bounce back. Their margin of victory in these bounce back situations have been very good. Obviously, we know the zigzag theory has been very strong here too. For those who don't know, again, you're covering at a 65.5% clip, just betting up the straight up losers. So it would make sense that if you're going to bet OKC, you're going to bet some alternate lines. For Indiana, if you like Indiana, you're taking six, and you're also playing some money line. Again, if they are staying inside of that number, it's going to be a clutch game. Again, this Oklahoma City team, 5-4 in 9 clutch games so far in this postseason. Again, clutch time being game within 5 points, 5 or fewer minutes left to go. They've only won 5 of those 9 that they have played. They've been outscored by 2.5 points per 100 possessions. Meanwhile, Indiana has been incredible, 9-1 in clutch games so far in this postseason. So it behooves them. So if you like Indiana, you're playing some money line, you're playing the six, because they're going to stay inside of that number. It's going to be a clutch game, and they're going to be able to win it. But I sit back and wash my hands of this thing. Like, the Thunder have not been as good as I expected them to be in this series. I'm also not going to lay into a number. We talked about this with Mike. He brought up a great point. Circa opened or closed game one minus 9.5 at home in favor of OKC. This number is now up to 12 if they're playing at home. Mm-hmm. I just can't willingly do that. So I'll sit back and see what happens. I've been fading the zigzag, and that has been a big failure of mine. So let's just see what's going to happen.
But here, I agree. I think that is the rationale, right? If you like Indiana, they are, 9-4 ATS as an underdog. Yep. All 9 of those covers have also been outright wins.
Yep.
So plus 180 on the money price for the Indiana Pacers, or if you're looking at some of these alts, because OKC, when they have played close games, they've lost them. The clutch time, because of the, I mean, that dates back to the regular season, as you were talking about earlier. They just don't have a ton of experience in those moments, whereas the Pacers have really, really stepped up in clutch time. If you like OKC, they either bounce back and blow them out, and if you look at those alt numbers, as you're referencing, if you think they win by double digits here, you're getting plus 150 to cover the 10.5, plus 170, 11.5, 2-1. So, like, these numbers are just going to continue to build on plus money if you want to approach it from that angle.
And real quick, like, the Thunder, they were 16-8 in the 24 clutch games they played. But still, like, 16-8, didn't play that many. It's not a very large sample size of clutch time. And they have shown that they are failing to answer the call when these games get tight. I mean, think about the games we've seen them lose, right? We saw them blow that game in game one. Remember, go back to game one against Denver, where Aaron Gordon hits that game-winning shot where they failed to operate properly there. Dagnall screws that up. So to the point of them just not being ready for these clutch games, at least the evidence is starting to grow that that is the case.
The total here, we saw it open 225.5. There's 227.5 in the market. Does this thing continue to go up, or when are we going to see some under money buyback?
We're going to see buyback. We always generally do see buyback at some point. I mean, maybe when it gets to 228, but I don't think you're going to get much farther than this. So I think the buyback's going to come, especially by the time we get closer to tip-off here, coming up in, for us, 7 hours, Central Time. We don't want to get into that conversation.
I miss my Pacific time zone.
Oh,
I really do.
I saw 7:30 p.m. tip tonight. I was like, what the heck?
We're having a blast in Omaha,
yes,
but these late starts, even with the hockey going to overtime last night, it's like, what are we doing?
Yes, but I would lean up very much under. You talked about it. I thought this was kind of an under series anyway for the most part, so I would very much lean toward under. Wait to see if the market continues to climb, but I would expect buyback at some point within the next, like, few hours.
We talked earlier about a potential prop maybe on Tyrese Haliburton under the 8.5 assists with the way that market has adjusted and maybe how he plays in this game. Do you still like that now, 2 hours into the program? Any other props that you might consider targeting?
Yeah, just under on the Haliburton assists. Again, if the zigzag becomes true again, and if this Thunder team is going to bounce back, and if they're going to blow them out as the expectation is today, then that would mean that Tyrese Haliburton is going to have a very muted game, both from a scoring standpoint and from a facilitating standpoint. I just think that makes too much sense if that's going to be the case. And by the way, we'll harken back to the first two games of this series. When the Thunder defense was playing at its peak, he went under his assist number in both of those games,
which were set at 6.5, by the way.
Yep.
Then that adjusted on home court to 7.5. Now we're all the way up to 8.5 because of the way that he performed in game one. So I think just from a market, the number that you're getting, and you're getting plus 110 on the under two.
We also need it.
Yeah, that would be helpful for us. For anyone who missed it, we have SGA for the series total assist leader. Got to bump those numbers.
Yes.
So let's see what we can do here. Last couple minutes. Okay, we're going to close out our weekend here in Omaha strong with... You're either going to say why not to a bet, or you're going to take a shot because you don't want to play it. And I think that Brian Ortega, our producer, who came up with these questions, he wants to see us take some shots based on what I have read in the commercial break. And he's starting with me here, 10-1. He said, if I give you 10-1 odds that Stuart Skinner is the starter over Calvin Pickard for the Oilers going forward, do you take it or take the shot? I am not taking any number. I think it would be ridiculous for Chris Knobloch to go back to Stuart Skinner. We saw what Calvin Pickard did in what was a critical must-win game four for them, standing up tall after he gave up 3 goals on 17 shots in the first period. So give me Calvin Pickard and give me a shot.
All right. For me, would you rather have $100 on Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers to win the AFC or just take a shot? I mean, stop. What are we doing here? Just give this up. Again, these
Hold
were
on.
Written
I got to take
purpose.
My shot first.
Okay,
can you give a little explanation on why you're anti-Rodgers?
Well, it's not even anti-Rodgers. I'm anti-Steelers. I don't think – we keep talking about them being a good defensive team. They're good up front. I don't think their secondary is that great. I think we saw a lot of details on that. I think Rodgers was better last year than the actual narrative around him. I still think he's a very average quarterback that is a year older, and I think that that's not going to help in a loaded division with a terrible schedule for a team that's trying to compete. So, yeah, no. No shot.
Okay, we're sticking with the NFL.
Well, no shot. I want that. I'll take it.
I actually think that it's going to – I think the Steelers are going to be better than you think they are.
Oh, we're going to have a season-long debate here.
The defense is so good. The thing that's been holding them back has been the quarterback position, and if Aaron Rodgers is 50% of himself from 3 years ago, I think they'll be fine, especially the fact that he doesn't turn over the football. Sticking with football.
From 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. We have to go back a little bit farther.
You can't do that. That's not how time works.
Hey, MVP caliber. As a 49ers fan, would you rather have $100 on the Niners to have one win after 5 games or just take a shot? Plus 750 is the price. Have you seen the 49ers schedule? Okay, yes, they open at Seattle. Division games are always a toss-up, but I think that it's very clear the 49ers, especially coming out of the offseason healthy in Seattle, should be able to handle business there. Then they take on the Saints, the Cardinals, and the Jaguars the first 4 games of the season. I am not taking it. I am not interested. So, another shot going down the hatch. By the way, we're very color-coordinated, if you see
Rachel.
We're patriotic, all of the things. I'll ask you the final question. Pacers to win the NBA championship by a correct score of 4-1 at 11-1, or take a shot. Okay, can the Pacers
actually
just close this out? You already kind of have a five-game series bet, right?
So I'm going to take this shot because I want it, but I will say I need the Pacers to win this thing in five now because I've got an exact series ender in five. So hell yeah, let's go Indiana. So we have changed our loyalties. I think this thing needs to end. I need this thing to end in five. We talked about it with Mike. He's still alive too.
So now social media can't come for you anymore. JVT's Team Pacers, ladies and gentlemen.
I've been pro-Pacer this whole time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy. What a world we live in. Yep. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this week. Rocco's has been unbelievable. We got to throw these down the hatch on the way out. Game one of the College World Series getting underway, and Prop Points is after this, so stick around. Have a great day, everybody.